Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you like to sit down?
Shane, you've come just at the right time. Does anyone know what it is? It's amazing what I can see through this. Whoa, you wouldn't believe it. It's absolutely amazing. I wonder if any children or young people would like to come and have a look through my recognizing stick. Would you like to, Grace? Would you like to, Shane? Darlene, come on, I need an older one as well. Right, let's have a look. Come and stand up here with me. It says on it, can you read that, Grace? "Do you recognize me?" So I'd like you to have a little look through here and see if there's anyone you can recognize. Who can you recognize over there? Your uncle. And who else? Do you need to move it a little bit? Who's that? Her mum. Very good. Okay, Shane, would you like a go? Who can you recognize? You can see your mum. Anyone else? You can see Dominic. Fantastic. Anyone else? Have a little span around. Do you want to go over this side? See if there's someone over there you recognize. Look through it again, Shane. Who is that over there? Do you recognize that little person drinking? He's Dakota, isn't it? Darlene, do you want to have a look? I think Dominic's coming for a look as well. Anyone you can recognize? I can see Michael. Give us a wave, Michael. There he is. He's shy. I can even see Dave sat right at the back. You see, in today's story, when Jesus was reading, when Jay was reading about Jesus, the disciples, who were friends, they were friends of Jesus, and they were walking along with him, and they didn't even recognize him. Can you imagine, Grace, walking along with your mum and uncle and not recognizing them? Or Shane, can you imagine going for a walk with your mum and Dominic and not recognizing them? Or Darlene going for a walk with Mim and not recognizing her? And that was a little bit like what happened in today's story. And do you remember last week we were thinking about knowing Jesus in our, who can remember it? Can you remember it, Shane? Knowing Jesus in our, come on, Darlene, in our head, in our heart, and in our hands, wasn't it? And we can recognize Jesus in all kinds of places. So today, when Jay's talking to us, he's going to talk to us all about recognizing Jesus in places we might not expect. You having a look, Dominic? What can you see? Can you see me waving? Hiya. Fantastic. Good job, guys. Go and sit down.
May I speak and may we respond in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I absolutely love that story of the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus and suddenly meeting up with Jesus, who they don't recognize. There's so much going on in that story. And sometimes, because there's so much going on in Bible stories, we think we know them so well, and we start to focus on the stuff that we do know, and we miss out some of the important details on the way. We start failing to recognize stuff that's going on. So let's take that story of the road to Emmaus, and let's break it down to help us better understand together what's going on here. It's a story. It's got a beginning, it's got a middle, and it's got an end. On the computer, could you throw up that PowerPoint slide that comes up? It'll come up in a second, but let's begin by setting the scene. We've got two people on a journey from Jerusalem to somewhere called Emmaus, about 7 miles away. One of them is called Cleopas. We know nothing else about this disciple. He's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. And as they go on their journey together, they're talking about the top news story of the day. Jesus, the prophet, the teacher, has died on a cross. His body was buried in a tomb. 3 days later, today, a group of women have been going to anoint his body with spices that they prepared. They get to the tomb, and the body is gone. Instead, in the tomb, there are two Donnies, two geezers, wearing shining clothes, telling these women that Jesus had risen from the dead. And this is big news. And these two people on the journey are heartbroken. They've had great hopes that Jesus, the one they put all their hopes in, was the one who was going to redeem Israel, God's people, save them from the Romans, and make everything all right again. And suddenly their hopes are dashed. They've got every right to feel let down. They placed all their hope in somebody, and it hadn't worked out as they'd expected. And so, of course, they've got to talk it over. That's their way of trying to make sense of everything that's happened. Maybe they were asking together all the questions that weren't written down in that Bible reading. Questions like, well, what could we have done to stop it? Or if we'd have been in such and such a place and such a time, then none of this would have happened. All the natural things we ask or we say when something really difficult happens in our lives. So as they go along the road, they keep talking all of this over, and they're joined by somebody else. The Bible says it's Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. It was just a stranger. Perhaps They were a bit afraid of this stranger because they couldn't recognize him. Roads were dangerous places in those times, so traveling on your own would have been an unusual thing. Maybe this was some vagabond trying to rob them, but this stranger ends up talking with them. And he sees them really deep in conversation, and he joins in. That was the done thing, though. You'd share news and information with people that you met. Jesus, and remember, they haven't recognized him, comes up to them, asking them what they're talking about. And they stop, looking sad. They must have thought that this particular stranger was completely mad. Perhaps they're looking to one another. Well, are you going to tell him, or am I going to do it? And Cleopas finally bites the bullet. He says to the stranger, are you seriously trying to tell us that you're the only one around here who hasn't heard what's been happening? And maybe this mysterious stranger says, well, go on then, tell me what has been happening. Cleopas has to jump back into the conversation. Well, haven't you heard about this man called Jesus and everything that happened to him? Cleopas goes on to a bit more detail about Jesus dying. And he doesn't put the blame on the Romans. Instead, he puts it on the Jewish chief priests and leaders. They're the ones at fault. They're the ones who condemned Jesus and handed him over to the Romans to put him to death. And he goes on to say, we had all our hope, all our trust, all our fears were in him. And he's dead. He's gone. Never to rise again. But all these strange things have been happening at the same time. And then as they walk along together on the road, this mysterious stranger is almost calling them out as idiots for not understanding everything that they're talking about. He goes on to explain to them that everything that they've been talking about together absolutely had to happen. And then he goes right back to the beginning, almost back to the beginning of the book of Genesis, and he takes them literally through the whole of the Old Testament, telling them the story over again, explaining those points in human history with God where God enters into the story and points the way to Jesus. You read through the Old Testament, there are so many references throughout it to the coming of Jesus. All of it points towards him. And this stranger who they can't recognize starts opening the minds of these two men to new possibilities. And maybe just as he starts to explain it, even though they can't recognize him, maybe their minds are really being opened at his words. Maybe they're starting to think, well, actually, maybe there's something in all of this. Maybe they start to get a little bit more excited. Maybe that's the point at which their hearts start to burn. 7 miles later, they come to the village of Emmaus. It's probably getting dark. It's not the time of day you would want to be out on the road. And this mysterious stranger looks as though he's going on further than Emmaus. But these two disciples say to him, well, it's getting late. Stop here and stay with us. So if they're inviting this stranger to stay with them, then it must mean that one of them has got a house there. So he's prepared to do some hosting. And they sit down and they do that thing that comes naturally to most people when they share fellowship together. They have a meal. And in this meal, Jesus takes some bread. And that would have been unusual. It would have been the duty of the host of the meal to do that. It wasn't communion. It wasn't the Eucharist as we know it. But at that point where this stranger breaks the bread, they suddenly start to recognize. Those two probably weren't there at the Last Supper, but they see something that's going on. Maybe as his hands break the pieces of bread, they see the marks of the wounds of the nails. Something happens. Suddenly, they realize, they recognize Jesus sitting there at the table with them. But at that point, he vanishes. Sometimes the best things happen with food. Sometimes the best conversations that we can have take place during a meal, where we sit down with other people and we actually start having a conversation together. We start learning things about people that we never knew were possible. We start hearing people's story. We start finding out about who they are, who they were, what shaped them, what they're excited about, what things they're less excited about. The best things happen often sitting together round a table. And the best thing that happens to these two disciples happens during that meal when they suddenly recognize that it's Jesus. And that's the point where he disappears. And they can't keep this story to themselves. Suddenly, the dangerous road back to Jerusalem doesn't seem dangerous anymore, because their hearts are so full of love and respect and admiration and joy for what they've just recognized that they've got to tell other people about it. It doesn't matter that there's 7 miles between Emmaus and Jerusalem. They've now got to run back. They've got to run back towards Jerusalem on a journey that possibly doesn't seem so dangerous anymore. And when they get there, they find the house where the other disciples are staying. They burst into the house, and there they are. And they say, "We've seen him. We've seen Jesus. He's just been journeying with us on the road to Emmaus. And we had to run back and tell you when we recognized that it was him." And our hearts were literally burning within us with excitement as we had to run back on that road to tell you. They're excited for Jesus. They're excited that they've met him. They're excited that their minds have been open and they've suddenly been able to grasp a whole new set of possibilities, and they cannot keep it to themselves. They've got to go back and they've got to say to everyone, "It's true. He's alive. He's risen. He's here. He's appeared to Simon." All the stories that we've been hearing, they're all absolutely true. And from that, the new movement starts to spread. If we were to picture ourselves on that journey, we might recognize something of the story reflected in our own lives. Maybe we're like those disciples walking down the road, and we feel drawn to faith. We know that there's something going on with God, and we've got to work it out. But at the same time, it all seems a bit of a mystery. If that is how it feels in your life at the moment, if it all feels a bit of a mystery, then we could be on the road together with those two people. Others of us on that journey might see the confusion and the depression on the faces of those two travelers as part of the story. If we see confusion and desperation and sadness, we're also on the road with them. Some of us know the story of faith quite well, but maybe the faith journey that we've been on has become long and tedious, so it's really hard to see the destination. If that's what faith feels like, then we too are on the road with those disciples. Others of us are struggling with what's happening around us, the pace of change, the seeming lack of real direction in our lives. Maybe we've got trouble in our relationships. We're worried about vandalism on the streets and the roads. Maybe we're feeling fearful that life is threatening to overwhelm us. If we're feeling like that today, then yes, we're also on the journey with those two disciples. But if you think about it, all of us, wherever our faith is at the moment, are on this journey together. Journeys are better taken together rather than as individuals. If they're taken together, then it means that all of us, whether our faith is strong or weak, are included somewhere on that journey with those two friends going to Emmaus, walking together, discussing everything that's going on. And in the midst of everything, before we even start to recognize who's traveling along with us, there is that mysterious stranger there on the journey with us. If we knew the end of our own story, then perhaps we would know who this stranger is. But just for now, we can't recognize him. But as we talk together, or as we sit quietly, as we have coffee after the service, as we worship together, as we go out from here into the world, or even if we're sitting at home, unable or afraid to go out, if we pray with faith, or if we're struggling to believe, Jesus himself comes near and goes with us. And as we continue on our journey of life, uncertain about what the future holds, even if we don't recognize him, Jesus himself walks with us. And just as those friends on the road to Emmaus discovered Jesus in the breaking of bread, so we have the opportunity every week to encounter Jesus, not only as the unknown friend on the road, but as the one who welcomes us with the marks of the nails in his hands. And those hands, bruised and battered though they are, welcome us into the embrace of God's love. And in the fellowship with which we share together in Jesus, we take him in some way into our lives, and he becomes one with us in soul and body. So I invite you now, if you're able, just to close your eyes. Take a few moments now in silence, just to imagine yourself walking on a journey. Might be no more than walking down to the shops, or to school, or to a place of work, with everything that's going on in your mind at the moment. Could be a favorite walk that you're on, a walk that allows you to breathe in the midst of a busy life. But as your mind, in your mind's eyes, you go on that walk, just see the stranger approach you. Just see that stranger walking quietly along beside you on that road. Walk with that stranger. In your imagination, just enjoy talking to them as you walk. Enjoy sharing those doubts, those hopes, those fears, those insecurities, those problems, everything that's going on in your mind right now. And then just imagine that stranger speaking to you as you walk together. And before you open your eyes, and as we move on with our service this morning, just say these words to that stranger. Lord, make yourself known to me today. Lord, make yourself known to me today. Lord, make yourself known to me today. Amen. And would you like to stand as we say the creed together?